Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of What's It Like, where we interview folks from all over the place about all kinds of experiences and get a sense of what that kind of thing might be like. My typical disclaimer, this is one person's story of this experience. Somebody else may have a similar experience that they have a very different response to, and that's okay. It's just one person's story. But I want to go ahead and welcome our guest for today. Welcome to the show, Hunter.
Hey, Hannah, how are you doing?
Doing great. So glad you could join us today. I want you to go ahead and tell our audience in like a sentence or two, give me your elevator pitch. What experience are you talking to us about today?
Oh man, I think today we have a good one. It's going to be the time that I, as a person who has no idea how to play the drums, ended up being the drummer in a band live on stage.
That is an incredible just premise for a story, and I'm so excited to have this play out. So tell me, let's start. Were you a musician at all?
No, not a single bit. Actually, if you heard my singing voice, it is extraordinarily bad. I can't play a single instrument, no talent at all in music, none.
That is amazing. So yeah, tell me, how did this get started? What were the events that set this in motion?
Yeah, well, so just for reference, so everybody knows, a lot of my friends call me Kramer, like from Seinfeld, because these kind of weird things happen to me. So it all goes back all the way to when I was in high school. I worked at a crappy little restaurant, and the bartender there, he was a bass player and a singer in a band. And I just thought that was cool. And I told him the truth at that time, which was, hey, I own a drum set. Had I ever touched it for more than 2 minutes at a time? No. And, you know, I didn't think anything would come of that. And then all of a sudden, we're, you know, like 5 years down the road. I hadn't talked to this man in that entire time. I'd long since quit that job. And all of a sudden, I get a text from him. And it's saying, hey, do you want to come over to the studio? We're having a jam sesh, trying out drummers. And of course, I couldn't pass up that opportunity. I had to say yes.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't, right? So, yeah. You know, the first thing I do is I text him, yeah. And then we get on the phone a couple times before it happens. And he's telling me about how he's finally gotten this great band and they have everybody together. Their old drummer quits. They're looking for a new guy. And I just started giving him, you know, not as much of a lie as I would call it, you know, a subtle untruth. I just start telling him, like, you know, I was like, yeah, man, I still have my drum kit, man. You know, I know what to do. I can go there. We can load it up. We'll have a good time. Everybody will love it. And now's the part where I should probably mention that this was a rock band. So the drummer there is very, very important.
Significant.
And, oh, yeah, for sure. And I was going to try out to be the drummer for this band that, you know, it's not like a big band that everybody's heard of or anything, but just in our local area around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they play in a lot of concerts around.
Had you seen them play before?
I had not, actually. Me and this guy fell out of touch a while ago. I knew that he was in a band, and I knew that they had gotten gigs and been opening for a couple bands here and there, but I'd never seen them play. I didn't know a single second of any of the songs. And keep in mind, from the time I was 16 until the time I was 20 when this happened, I hadn't picked up a drumstick probably more than twice.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, all this culminates. I end up going over to their one of their practice studios. And it's just him and me, and we're there, and then eventually all the other people show up. And they start, you know, they play a couple of the tracks, and they're like, hey, you ready? Let's get a jam sesh going. We'll try and do it kind of like this and like that. And, you know, at this point, it was the first time it really kicked in my mind that I agreed to do all of this and I have no idea how to do any of it.
Right.
So I just kind of start doing, you know, the good old fashioned BSing my way through it. And so I'm just grabbing the sticks and I'm just doing the simplest little beat I can, you know, like, ba-ba-da-psh, ba-ba-da-psh. But the thing is, I guess that in the moment, I was so good at bullshitting because I was like getting into it. I made sure it looked like I knew what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I started switching up between random things. Half of it worked, half of it didn't work. But at the end of the day, it did this weird thing where it kind of flowed together. And apparently, I just looked so confident in doing what I was doing that there were no questions asked. Like, this was all A-OK. Let me tell you, I've never been this happy with like just BSing something. I had no right to be anywhere near there. And
like, did you feel the whole time like you were about to get yelled at and kicked out? Or was there a point where it kind of settled in like, I guess I can do this now?
Well, you know, once I crossed like the hour point of jamming with them, it kind of kicked in that like, okay, I guess that there's no red flags coming up. And the crazy part too is it's not like I was like the first guy they auditioned. I mean,
right.
I had like 10, I think it was like 10 or 12 other drummers had already come through before me. And I'm just sitting there, I'm going, I think at the end of the day, we drummed for like 3-4 hours.
Wow.
And at the end of it, it was just, you know, for anybody that isn't in a band, it usually ends with everybody just kind of sitting around chilling for a while. And, you know, lo and behold, at the end of that, we all go get drinks. We go out and, you know, we have a good time. And late that night, they offer me a spot in the band. And I couldn't turn it down.
Yeah.
I know that like the second that they're going to get technical with anything with me, like when they, you know, tell me to do some technical musical term, I won't know what it means. But I just decided at this point that I'm just along for the ride. I'm going to do whatever I can and I'm going to be a part of this.
Oh my gosh. Did you tell anybody else about this? I mean, like, so I'm a drummer in a band now.
Well, yeah. And the funny thing is, they were located about an hour away from where I lived.
Okay.
And I was practicing with them like 3-4 times a week. And so I'd make that drive all the time. People would ask me, you know, I wasn't around as much anymore. And I would tell them that I'd joined a band. And, you know, at this point I had told one of my friends, Cody, I'd got into it about him with like all the details of it. And I told him, I was like, well, man, I just went over there. I started jamming with them. And this guy knows me. He looks back at me. He goes, but you can't jam. Uh-huh. And I'm aware. Also, I'm in a band.
Apparently, I can.
It's just one of those moments. Like, if I had to do it all again, I don't think I would be able to recreate that level of just straight face, act like you know what you're doing. Like, I was impressed with myself.
Yeah. No kidding. Okay, so you're practicing with them and things are still going well.
Yeah, things are still going well. I'm in the band for, like, 3-4 weeks with them. And, you know, I'm doing like my little things, you know, over time, I could only pick up doing like 4 or 5 different beats, but I'd put so much energy into it that it still looked like I knew what I was doing. And after a while they were like, hey, we need you to learn what the last guy did with these set of songs. The first concert that you're going to be in with us is in about 2 weeks. I say, okay. And you know, they give me the CD of it, and you know, and they were opening for another band. Wasn't anything huge. I think it was like 6 or 7 songs that we were performing.
Uh-huh.
So I get the CD of it and I'm listening to, you know, obviously the songs that the band did, and I'm listening to how the last guy drummed. And in my ears, it's very apparent to me that I don't know how to recreate any of this.
Uh-huh.
And so the next day I show up and, you know, we're all practicing again. And I start doing everything completely different than how it was on the CD. And I just tell them, I was like, you know what? That was the last guy's style. I've just got a different way of doing this. I think I got a new vision of what I can do back here. And I don't know what happened over those next 2 weeks, but they bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Oh my gosh.
And they were like, dude, it wasn't even to the point where it's like, okay, is he good? It was like, they were telling me like, dude, you're awesome. I almost felt like I was getting pranked by this whole thing.
Yeah, like that would be startling. Be like, when is somebody going to jump out and be like, kidding, we knew the whole time.
I know, exactly. I was unpunked or something, I swear. But eventually it just got to the point where I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, okay, this should be a lesson. Just next time somebody asks you if you can do something and you can't, just tell them no. Because I was deep into it at this point.
Did you feel at any point like you were too deep? Like, did you want to kind of get out? Or were you still just enjoying yourself?
It would go back and forth every day. Like, yeah, I was having an insanely good time. I was having all these experiences that I'd never had before and that I knew at some point I'd never get to have again.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was genuinely the time of my life. Like, you know, it was a couple times a week I'd go out and jam with them. And, you know, we had that whole setup in the studio. It was the most professional I've ever been at anything.
Yeah.
It was an amazing time, but at the same time, it was just that thought in the back of my head of like, one day you're probably going to get exposed as not having any idea what the hell is going on around you.
Uh-huh.
It was a situation. So anyway, it finally gets there. We get to the big day. It's going to be my first time ever performing anything in front of anybody. You know, we get to the venue like 3-4 hours early. We start rehearsing in the back. And the way it worked is we were opening up from this band that we're in, based in Texas. Mm-hmm. And we were opening up for this band that had come down from New York to play like this big concert there, or at least big for me. It was like 200, maybe 300 people there.
That's a good sized crowd for somebody who is not a drummer.
Yeah, it was a little bit intimidating, and it was kind of cool. If I can sidetrack this for a moment, like,
yeah, do it.
I knew that I had definitely gotten in, you know, just way in over my head at the point when I realized that, like, this is a professional setup. Like, there's like a light show going on while I'm doing this. There's mm-hmm. like a big crowd. There's like, we had like a freaking green room in the back that we were hanging out in before all this. We had a personal bartender making us free drinks. I've never had that outside of a wedding with an open bar.
There were people being paid money to make you comfortable and make you look good.
Oh yeah. It was genuinely, that was probably, that single day was one of the top 5 days of my whole life.
Absolutely. And the rehearsal went well. That was all smooth. And
yeah, the rehearsal went well. It went smooth. And because the way it worked is there were two opening bands and then the main band that came down. And we were the first band that was opening up. So we also did sound check with all the people there and all that. Mm. And that's the point where it first started coming to me that, like, okay, I really, really am in over my head. Because they start having me doing these things. They're like, all right, we need you to test out snare number 3. It was this giant drum set because it was it was a drum set from like the main band that had came down there. So I didn't know what half of these were. And it even became apparent to the sound guy. It was like, no, he was getting on the mic talking to me in my ear. He's like, the other one. No, the other
oh,
one.
Shoot.
No, the other one. But we get through that and, you know, it's still, I'm keeping up the illusion. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, like the lights come on, the crowd starts going crazy. We come out from behind the stage. I've leaned my beer behind in the green room, come out there. Everybody's ready. It's showtime. We get through that set of songs and I swear I just blacked out during this and somehow it went perfectly. I did not screw anything up.
Oh my gosh.
I was stunned. And I was stunned to the point where I couldn't even, because in the crowd, they had set up like a little private section that was kind of like roped off from everybody else where all the performers could go to. Mm-hmm. So the people from the other two bands were there while we were going, you know, everybody just kind of took turns standing over there. I couldn't even go over there. I just went back into the green room and I had a couple more shots and a couple more beers.
Yeah.
And I just had to sit there and decompress and be like, I really just BS'd my way through not an audition, not jamming, but a full-on concert.
Yeah.
It was, I still to this day don't know how I did it. It, you know, everybody from the other bands, like, they're just talking to me. We're hanging out. I'm still acting like I know what I'm doing. We're having a good time. They're congratulating me, saying I did a great job. And it just sunk in at that point to me that if you just go along with whatever is put in front of you, like, and you act confident and you're halfway able to BS your way through it, you can get in any situation and probably be okay with it.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely.
Clearly. So you get through this whole thing. Were you at that point, when did this stop? Did you decide after this, be like, okay, I reached my peak and now I'm good? Or did you ever tell them?
So, we can get into that if you want. We can definitely get into that.
I'm so curious. I want to know everything about this. I want to know the aftermath because I can't even imagine how that would have gone.
Yeah, you got them because, you know, at this point, I'm in the band. I've been initiated in. I've been paid by this band. I've had people pamper me with drinks. And it was crazy. It got to the point, fast forward like 2 or 3 weeks down the road, where they had started to write a couple more songs, and they were about to release an album. They were wanting to start writing and recording an album and get that done sometime in the next month or two. And we had all the songs together, and all of a sudden it hit me, and I was just like, if we get into that studio, it's just going to be only me at one time drumming. And because they don't record it of everybody going at the same time. It's like, okay, you sing. All right, now you come in with the piano. You get the guitar. You get the lead guitar. You get the bass. You drum. You do it all at your own time. And I realized that they were going to start telling me to do stuff, and I was not going to know what it meant.
Yeah.
And at this point, everybody, I didn't want to be the guy that people hated for lying about the whole band situation. And so I decided to, in order to not get caught in a lie, to make up another lie.
This is truly a sitcom right here. honestly. Yeah.
It really, hey, did you catch the part? It's true what my friend said, right? I'm just like Kramer in real life.
This is a Seinfeld episode right here.
Hey, anytime, NBC casting, if y'all are looking for somebody, phone number is, email is.
So you made up some other reason to get out of this? What did you tell them?
I did. I told them I was moving to a different state.
Okay.
And I didn't go too deep into that one. I just told them, I was like, hey, I'm moving. I'm transferring colleges, which is true. I was transferring colleges, but I was transferring colleges like 20 minutes away.
Not
out of state. So I tell them that. And then we kind of do like a little, a goodbye thing. They do a little celebration for me of like everything that we did. They had a little going away party for me. And I almost regretted it in a sense. Like, I kind of wish that I'd stayed in. I had such a great time doing it. But I knew that, like, I had pushed my luck probably 1,000 times beyond what I should have been able to push it for.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to do too much more. Like, I did not want to get caught. So I ended it on a good note. And to this day, they all think that I'm a drummer.
Have you ever had the opportunity to go back and jam with them again?
I have. And so funny enough, right after the very last time I jammed with them, around the time when I was saying where all this happened, right after it ended and right after they, I got out of the band. And let me tell you, it wasn't easy to get out of it either. They liked me so much. They were like, dude, come on, just think about it for a while. It took me like a month of trying to get out of it to actually get out of it.
Gosh.
But once I did, like, immediately, we loaded up all of my drums, which was like 12 of them, and all these cymbals and stuff, into this old beat up 2007 Honda Accord. And I immediately drove to a guitar center and sold every drum that I had. Because I don't know what happened at that moment, but fear just got into me. And it was like, if they tell you to come back again and drum, you got to have an excuse.
I don't have them anymore.
So I decided at this point that lying and saying I didn't have them anymore would be a terrible idea. I mean, why would I lie to these people? So I again. Are you trying to say that I'm a liar? Do you really think I'm the kind of person that would lie to people?
Apparently not.
Well, thank you. I mean, there was a little attack on my character right there. So, I had to do the true honorable thing. I went to Guitar Center and sold every drum that I had. And so eventually they asked me, if I could go back and jam with them. And I told them, I was like, and this was maybe like 3 or 4 months after that happened. Mm-hmm. I told them, I was like, well, I sold all my drums because of the move. Mm-hmm. The move that didn't happen. And it just ended up with me going back there, and we had a couple beers, we went out to eat. I just kind of chilled in a really comfy couch and listened to people make some music. And it was a good time. I'm still friends with all of them. Not a single one of them knows this story, even though,
my gosh,
one of them I'd even probably consider one of my best friends still, and not even he knows the story.
Oh my gosh. But and you didn't inspire you to like take up drumming or anything. It was just this weird time in your life.
It was a very weird, like, 4 or 5 months in my life. And, you know, let me tell you, it's weird. I'm not one of those type of people that ever gets stage fright or anything. Like, you know, in elementary school, I was always the kid that did announcements and all that kind of stuff. And they would always talk in front of the class. So that wasn't what it was. I've never had that. But I had not a stage fright when I was drumming with them. It was just a genuine fear of being called out for the BS that I was spewing at these people. And that fear just took over me. I don't know what it was, but it was the first time that I was just genuinely terrified to do anything.
Absolutely.
It definitely stopped me in my tracks, that's for sure.
Like, no more. That was it.
No more. This is enough. Never again.
Now, I'm curious, as you know, just as somebody who listened to music, did you pay attention to the drums? Like, you had a drum kit. Did you intend to learn drumming at some point? Was this ever an interest in the past that you just didn't follow through on?
Oh, yeah. So if you want to know the story with that, when you're a kid, you do a lot of stupid things.
Yes.
So when I was 16, I got my car in the summer after I turned 16, and I got my first job the same day I got my car. Maybe a month or two after that, after I'd had like maybe a couple $100 saved up, I got a couple of friends to go with me to a guitar center and buy the cheapest, shittiest set of used drums that I could find. And we brought it back to my house. You know, I was like 16 at the time. We set it up in like an almost empty room that we were just using for extra storage. My mom gets home that day. She's going, what the hell is this? I tell her, I'm going to be a drummer. She says, no, you're not. You have no musical talent. And she was right. And, you know, even now she still would be right about that, even though maybe a little bit less right.
I mean, I don't know. There must be something that you were able to latch on to quickly enough to be able to BS your way through this. So there must be some, you know, sense of natural rhythm in there that you were able to tap into, just never actually learned it. So maybe there's a little bit more in there than anybody thought, just in a different area.
You know, maybe I have a sense of natural rhythm when it comes to drumming, because clearly in dancing and singing and anything else that takes rhythm, that does not show in me, trust me.
Yeah. I'm curious, as well, like, so I work with performers, I teach theater, and so I work on a lot of, on things like stage fright and getting over fear of performing, where a lot of times people think that they don't know what they're doing when they really do. You really didn't know what you were doing. But I'm curious, do you think that there are other aspects of performing that would be, it would be much harder to do this with like a guitar, where if you don't have the exact technique with the guitar, it sounds terrible. But I'm curious, are there other aspects of performance that you think, yeah, I could probably BS my way through that?
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, with the guitar, that would be impossible because you have all the different chords. You have 1,000 different things to do with guitar. And for drum, it's just hit this,
it's just hit
that. Yeah. Every once in a while, you got to get crazy and use your foot on a pedal. But other than that, but no, I think there's some things like, I don't know, maybe, you know, drumming is in the same sense of like maybe doing stand up or acting or something like that. Yeah. Where if you can just find the smallest little nugget of knowledge that you can latch onto, you might be able to get through that. And you know what? Maybe that really does ring true for me because I've also done stand-up comedy. So, you know, maybe that's just a thing where I'm good at BSing.
Well, I was going to add, like, that was going to be part of my connector, kind of like, have you, to for lack of a better phrasing, have you used this intense confidence and willingness to BS your way through something? Have you used it for good?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
This was for good. This was for good because they had a great time and you had a great time. But I was curious as to how that had served you in the rest of your life. And I think stand-up is a great example of that. Like, it takes some boldness to go out there and confidently believe that you're funny and that people are going to laugh at what you're saying. And for that to be, you know, that's something that is more boldness than some people feel like they have in them. So I was just curious as to how you've used that in how the same skills you used here are just throughout the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And in more ways than one, too. Like I said, the stand-up one, but there's 100 more ways that I've used that. And, you know, it's kind of funny when it came specifically to doing stand-up, unlike drumming, it's something that I actually practiced at and went into because people told me, like, hey, man, I think you'd be awesome at this. Like, I had friends that told me since, like, we were in, like, since I was little kids, I've had people tell me that, like, you should do some type of comedy or acting. Because I was always, like, the creative type of kid when I was little.
Yeah.
But, no, to get more to what you're actually asking, I mean, I've done a ton of things, not necessarily that I had to lie about with the drumming, but that were, like, one-off little things that I had no way to practice for that I just kind of did and kind of got through it. I mean, instantly two of them that are really interesting come to mind if you want me to go ahead and share those with everybody.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'd love to hear that.
All right. Do you want the happy one or the sad one first?
let's do the sad one first and end on a happy note with that.
All right. All right. So shortly after my time with that band ended, unfortunately, my grandma passed away and my family was going through a little bit of financial struggle. So it was going to be hard to hire an outside pastor to do the funeral. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, like the little piece of shit that I am, I stood up and I said, I can officiate a funeral.
Oh, and okay.
My family went along with it. And I ended up, you know, being on stage for like an hour officiating a funeral. And that went even more smoothly than the drumming because that was something I actually practiced.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, not before so, but like in the couple days before the funeral, I actually wrote everything down in practice. But that was a sad one.
Yeah, but no, that's definitely a great example.
Oh, yeah. And do you want to hear the happy one? I don't know how happy it is, but it's definitely happier than that.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. What's your other example for us?
So the other one was at some point in my life, I decided, you know, it would be fun to try and get on TV. And so for all the other Americans out there that have heard of this show, there's a show that's been on television for like 20 years called Survivor, where people live on an island and have to do that. And I decided on the spur of a whim one day that I was going to audition for that show. And so without really thinking about it, I make a little 3-minute video. It maybe took me like 10 minutes to think about and do the whole video and send it in. A couple weeks later, I get a call back and this and that. And I keep getting calls and emails and all this. And eventually I do like an in-person audition at like the local CBS studio next to my house. And I didn't actually end up getting on the show or getting further in casting, but I literally just went there and just started like laughing and goofing around with these people. Cause I was like, I didn't expect to actually get a call back. So I'm just going to be myself. If these people want me, I can be on the show. If not, that's cool too. But I got farther than like 99% of people did. So I think that's a great use of BSing.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay. So as this, most of these episodes, as they go out to generally two types of people. One who has some experience with the topic at hand and one who have no experience. So, and I ask our guests to address each. So for you, maybe somebody, probably there aren't that many people who are in a band without knowing how to play their instrument, but there very well might be somebody who is in the middle of, who feel like they've gotten themselves into a performance situation where they don't feel prepared, they don't feel like they can do this. So I would love you to speak a little bit to that. And then on the flip side, just maybe, I don't know, anything you'd want to say to somebody who maybe never will have this experience, what's something that you wish people would understand about it? So somebody who might be in the middle of this, somebody who will never have anywhere, who will be that person who's not a drummer and doesn't tell people that they're a drummer.
Yeah, so for all three of you out there that are drummers in bands without being drummers, and for the 7 billion others of you. But now, my general thing is just for everybody, if you have got yourself into some sort of situation like I did, you know, whether it's through you lying or for no fault of your own, whether it's good or bad, if you just put a smile on your face, go with the flow, act confident, and just give it your best shot. And don't try, I was going to say don't be afraid. Try not to let your fear show too much. Mm. And just have a good time, enjoy yourself. The worst that can happen in 99% of cases is not that bad. And for everybody that is hopefully not going to be in any type of situation like I was in, I would just say to them, even if you think that nothing exciting is going on right now with you, just enjoy the normal parts of your life, because sometimes you'll get exciting, but it's not going to be exactly what you were thinking or something you'll even be able to do.
Yeah.
That's my message for everybody out there.
No, I like it. That's a good one. All right, Hunter, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up, but I want to give you a second to plug anything of your own, any social media or projects or whatever you want to share with us.
Oh, man. Yeah, I would love to shamelessly promote myself. So yes. Again, for everybody out there, my name is Hunter Alford. I am one of the two hosts of the Tall Guy, Bald Guy podcast. Me and my friend Cody host that podcast. We just talk about life, the universe, everything funny, something sports related. Just whatever we have on our minds, and you can get that podcast anywhere you listen, Spotify, Google, Apple, all that.
Awesome. I will make sure and include the name and pull a link as well and toss that in the show description so folks can find you. Hunter, thank you so much for being willing to come on and share this really odd and wonderful story with us.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for having me. I had a great time. And if you ever need more, I got 1,000 of these in my belt.
It sounds like it. I might have to reach out again in the future and be like, tell us another one.
Go for it.
Awesome. All right, everybody. That is the show. We will see you back next week, and we will be interviewing somebody else about some completely different topic then. So we'll see you then.